Okay. So we're going to do this week talking and learning during davening.
So,
so we know that everything that was created. So everything that was created is, can be turned to a constructive purpose or a destructive purpose, as it says in Koheles, Gam ezelum azel also lokim. Rashi just points out, Hatovu schar pulasa, lumas haroz schar pulasa. So everything is, there's the good versus the bad. Rabbeinu Yonah in the Alkut says that Bnei Yisrael is beloved through its voice, and at the same time it's hated through its voice. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Amarei Shlokish, Mishur Mehuda Nesia, Ein Ha'olam Iskayim, Ela Bishvil Hevel Tinoku Shalpes Rabban. The world only exists due to the untainted, the pure mouth of the children. Amalei Rav Papa Abaya the Dividi Dachmai. What about us? You know, we learn Torah, we make Chidushim. Oh, it's only due to the children. What, you know, what about us? Amalei Abaya responded, Eino Dome Hevel Sheish Bochet LeHevel Sheim Bochet. Abaya said, a breath of Torah, anything that bears the impurity of sin, is not the same as the breath that is free of any taint of sin. And therefore, the children, you know, keep the world running. So the Sefer Ikrim says, you know, he doesn't understand. He says, you know, the children, what do they learn in school? They're learning very elementary, you know, Chumash, even if it's a Rashi. But they're not getting into anything. And you have Abaya and Rav Papa and Amoraim being Mechadesh. They're going deep into things. So the Sefer Ikrim says that even so, what you see from this Gemara is that someone who does not have averos and serves Hashem, even at a lesser level, you know, it's more simple, it's more pashut. Hashem looks at that with more value and more chashivas than someone who does have sin, who has averos, and yet can serve Hashem at a much greater level. The one at the lesser level is the one Hashem is machshiv more, due to the less, you know, fewer or no averos. And I remember my first year that I was teaching in Queens, and my reshiva got up, he was speaking to the high school before Yom Kippur, and, you know, we went through a shmooze about Yom Neroyim, and when he finished the shmooze, he said to them, he said, please have me in mind in your davening. And all the high school kids, of course, laughed, because, ha-ha, you're the reshiva, we're the little 13, 14-year-olds whose heads are in the sewer system. But, you know, obviously it's a joke. But in reality, the reshiva, you know, he was living with this gemara, that Einach and Ami, they may have their chatoim, but their 13 or 14, there's a lot less that they may have done than someone who's in his 70s, 80s, 90s, even if you could be, a Gadol B'Torah. And, you know, it's something to realize that, you know, the power of a pure, you know, speech, of a pure voice. So where does our speech, as we mentioned, get pulled in two directions? Davening. We come to shul, we get ready to daven, say a quick hello to someone who came a little after us, grabbing a mane. Our speech is going in both directions. And many people who are otherwise very careful when it comes to halacha, for whatever the reason, seem to overlook this stringent halacha, and sometimes even feel that it's, you know, it's something for davening, it's something in the gabbai, something the rav, something, you know, we need for the chazan. You know, we sometimes feel that it's okay, you know, it's for the davening, it's okay to speak out at that moment. The Mechaber tells us, in Simon Kuf Aleph, he says, Lo Yispal Belibel Levad, one should not daven in his heart alone. El Machate Chadvarim Besfasov, you should say it out with your lips. Umashmiya La'ozna Malachash, it should be done, you should hear it quietly. Vlo Yashmiya Kolo, your voice should not be heard. Vim Eino Yochel Lachavi Malachash, if you can't personally daven so quietly and have Kavana, Mutta Lahagbiya Kolo, then you'll add a daven Shemon Esrei a little louder. However, he says, "Vahani mili beino leveinatzmo." This is only if you're davening biyachidus. Avla b'tzibur, aser b'tzibur, you're never allowed to raise your voice in Shemoneh Esrei. Da'asi lemitra tzibura, because you're going to disturb others in their Shemoneh Esrei. And the Mishneh Berurah in both Vav and in both Sivkot and Yud both talk about the same idea that again, you have to, you know, not, it's not even supposed to be heard by the person next to you. We learn it from Chana, that it's supposed to be such a low tone that only you yourself hear it. Now, if for davening we're concerned that if you raise your voice during Shemoneh Esrei, you might disturb the person davening next to you, How much more so for a casual conversation do we have to you know, be concerned? But the harm of a casual conversation is much worse than just disturbing others. As the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Al-Yiraba in Kuf Chav Dalet and Sifkat and Chav Zayin, he says, Kasav Al-Yiraba Shem Akolbo, Oila Hanoshim Shem Asichim Beis HaTfilah. Woe to the people who talk during Tfilah, Kiri'inu Kama Batei HaKnesses Nechru B'Shvil Avam Zeh. As we've seen many, many shuls that have been destroyed due to the avera of talking in shul. V'yesh lamanos anoshim yidum lashkiach al zeh. And the Shabur actually says there should be people appointed to be in charge of making sure that everyone's quiet. The Tosus Yontif tells us that the gzeira of Tach V'tat of 1648 and 1649 of the Kazakhs was due to talking in shul. And he wrote a Mishaberach, which I'm going to try to get the Rav to institute, that gave a bracha to all those who refrained from talking during davening. Yes, Tosus Yontif. Rav Matasyahu Salmon also says over, in the name of the Beis Yisrael, the Ger Rebbe, that the Sephardi Jews during the Holocaust were spared, as there was not one from the Sephardi nations that were killed, as opposed to the many that we lost from the Ashkenazim, because the Sephardim did not speak during davening and had this bracha of the Tosus Yontif from his Mishaberach. So it's more than just a disruption that takes place, but there is, you know, real disaster that comes from talking during davening. On a personal level, such a person's identified with the worst of the averos, as the Mechaber tells us, Gadol Avonu Minso. It's too difficult to bear such an avera, which is the strongest lashon used on any avera. The Zohar in Parshas Truma says such a person's a kofer be'ikr. The Kaf HaChayim, which I copied the wrong one, which happens to be, it's a good Kaf HaChayim because he talks about learning during davening, but it's not the one I was looking for now, says that one who habitually talks during davening should stay home and daven b'yichidus. And this way he won't talk during davening, unless he talks to himself. The Dover Shalom says that one who comes to shul and talks to others is considered a choti u'machnis rabim, and he has no chelik in olam haba. And the Aruch HaShulchan and the Bialocha says similarly, both write that you're guilty of the aver of Chilul Hashem. So on a personal level, the person's got a lot going against him. On a more national level, he's got a lot that he's bringing in. So talking during davening is something to obviously be careful with. And there's a story told over of Baal Tshuva, who joined the minyan once in a Orlando hotel, and davening was completed at a breakneck speed, as obviously everyone had to get to the theme parks quickly, with many neglecting to properly say Psuga de Zimra. And commenting on the rapid pace of the davening and the widespread talking, he exclaimed in frustration, "What I just saw is enough to make a person turn away from Judaism." Now, if the talking makes such a bad impression on a newcomer, imagine the deep and indelible impression it makes on our children, who constantly will see adults talking during davening. They're not in the position, like a Baal Tshuva, who's mature enough to judge the situation and understand that, you know, people maybe don't know what a davening is. But for a child, it becomes the norm. This is what davening is. We daven and we schmooze. You know, it's all part of the part of it. And we live with this bitter irony where so many people get up early, they come to daven with a minyan, yet because of their talking, cause spiritual disaster to them, to their shul, and to the community. Ideally, one should not talk in shul from the beginning to the end of davening. However, there are parts that are halachically usur, there are parts that it's just preferable, and we'll run through a bunch of different parts of davening to make the difference. So from Birchas HaShachar through Baruch Sha'amar, it's just better not to. During Kaddish, it's usur entirely. The Torah brings two stories of people that came back in dreams, one whose face was yellow, one who had a stain on it, and they... People ask, you know, why do you have this? And they said, because we spoke during Kaddish, so we're marked. So when you go to the next world, they know, you know, exactly whether you're a Kaddish speaker or not. During Psuga de Zimra, unless there's an emergency, it's also to talk. Between Yishtabach and Baruch Hu, only if there's a mitzvah need is one allowed to talk. Between Baruch Hu and Yotzer, it's Aser. During Birchas Kriyashma, it's Aser. After Gal Yisrael and Shemona Esrei, it's Aser. Obviously, during Shemoneh Esrei, it's also if one talks, then he would have to, you know, go back and repeat, you know, where he spoke out. After Shemoneh Esrei, before Chazaras HaShatz, it's also only because it will disturb others. During Kedusha, obviously, it's Aser. During Duchening, it's Aser. Between Chazar Sashatz and Tachnun, it's inappropriate because it takes away the koach of what Tachnun is. Between Tachnun and Kriyas HaTorah, there's no specific Iser, but again, it's preferable not to. During Kriyas HaTorah, it's Aser. Between Aliyos, there are different Shitos. Some say it's Aser. Some say you might be able to learn. And there are others that are more lenient, that you're only allowed to talk about things that are mutter to talk about in a shul. During the Haftorah and its brachos, it's usher to talk, and you have to pay full attention to that in order to be yotzei for it. Between Kriyas HaTorah, the end of davening, again, there's no specific isser, but it's preferable not to. During Halol, it's usher. During Kabbal Shabbos, again, it's just preferable not to. During Vayichulu, Mogen Ovos, it's totally usher to talk. And obviously, on Shabbos, Chazas HaShatz, Kriyas HaTorah, and Haftorah carry more than just a regular Isser, because that's half part of how we make up our 100 brachos, and if you're not answering a main to those brachos, and listening and being yotzi with them, so it's much more difficult to make your 100 brachos on Shabbos. Chazas HaShatz, I left for separate. So, talking during Chazas HaShatz is the most serious and most strictly forbidden Isser, as the Shulchan Aruch tells us in Kuf Chav Dalet, that Kishleach Tzibur Chozer HaTfila HaKol Yesh Lam Lishtok L'Chavim L'Brocho Shemavarach Chazim Lanus Amin. When the Shulchan Tzibur is going over Chazar HaSashat, saying the Tfila, people have to be quiet, they have to have Kavanah to the Brochos that the Chazim saying, and answer Amin. The Mishnah Berurah in Yud Zayin tells us, Al Kain Yesh Lizar Milom Tachnunim, one should therefore not be saying Tachnunim, other Tfilos, Olumul Beis Chazar HaShatz, so to be learning then, Vafilun Nechavnin L'Sofa Bracha Lanus Amin Karoi, even if he's paying attention to answer at the end of the Bracha, the Amin properly, Shalatia Amin Yisoma, in order that his Amin should not be Yisoma, Gam Kein Lo Yafa Hemosin, it's still not proper, Shem Halomdim Yifnu L'Lamudam, those who are learned, if they turn to learning, Ami Ha'aretz Yilmnu Mehem, the Ami Ha'aretz will learn from them, Shalah Hazin L'Shliach Tzibur, that I don't have to listen to the Chazin, and then they will get into idle conversation, chas v'shalom, and therefore, nimtu machtin es harabim, so those that are learning, the Mishnah Berurah says, are considered to be machtin es harabim, and again, that goes back to the possibility of chote yomachti, ein lo chelok olam haba, so those that learn either have to have a psak, and we'll go into it a little more, either have to have a psak from someone that says it's okay, and they're willing to take on all the heavyweights on the side that say it's not, or realize what they are possibly up against. The Igros Moshe, which I copied the whole thing in case anyone wants to go through the piece, I'm not going to read it, states that it's also to learn during Chazar HaShatz. The Yavitz in his Siddur says, as the Mishnah Berurah, you shouldn't say Tehillim, and he says one should not even walk around during Chazar HaShatz. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that one who learns during Chazar HaShatz is considered a mitzvah habah ba'aveira. The Tzitz Eliezer brings a Gemara that says, Pishbev lomotza yitlo bilta Torah, if someone has Yisurim, so the literal translation is that you should, if you search yourself and you can't find any Averos, you should assume it's because you're Mavatal Torah. He homiletically explains that one who has physical suffering and can't find a spiritual reason for it should blame it on the fact that during davening he'd failed to abandon his Torah learning for the sake of davening. So if one is so the Tzitz Eliezer is saying, if a person's having Yisurim and he can't, you know, he can't figure out the spiritual reason for it, it must be because he's learning during davening as opposed to just davening. In the introduction to the Siddur Chsam Sofer, one of the Talmidim tells over that the Chsam Sofer quoted the Medrash Tanchuma and Miketz, where Rabbi Yochanan it says, he wishes people would daven all day. And the question was asked that if people davened all day, what am I to learning? And the Chsam Sofer explains, there he says, that the Yetzirah wants a person to learn during davening. And Rabbi Yochanan was jestingly meant that a person who wants to daven all day will therefore come to learn the entire day. So talking during Chazar HaShatz, as we know also, can lead to the brachos being a brachos l'atola. As the Shulchan Aruch continues, v'mein tisha mechavim l'brachos, if you don't have 9 people paying attention to the brachos, karav leos brachos l'atola is very close to being brachos l'atola. And therefore, lachain kol adam yasa atzmo kilu ein tisha zulaso. Each person should say, "I'm one of those 9," and not say, "Well, I'm in a big minion. There's probably 9 people," but that he should assume that he's one of those 9. V'chavin lebirchas hachazin, and have in mind to pay attention to what the chazin's saying. And the Mishnah Berurah in Yiches says, Kilo ain tisha, al kein yir l'chadchila l'chad l'shmo kol ha-bracha. L'chadchila, you're supposed to be hearing the entire bracha, v'lo sofa bracha b'lvad, not just the end of the bracha. And the Mishnah Berurah, just in Yotes, then points out to Achazin that Achazin should realize that maybe he's not in a minyan where he's going to have nine people paying attention. And therefore, when he starts, he should have in mind that it's a Tfilas Nedava to avoid that he's not saying a bracha l'vatala just in case he doesn't have the tzibur paying attention.
How does he do that when he has to kaddish nedava?
So how does he do it if he needs to be mechadish?
You have to mechadish a new thing within the...
So it could be that that's typically if a person's davening a regular Tfilas Nedava. Here where the real purpose, again, is for the nine people to do it, and you just in case trying to avoid that that shouldn't come to a possible bracha l'vatala, it could be there's a leniency.
What about Musaf?
As far as what? But I don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. Musaf, it could be along those same lines that again, the real purpose you're doing it is for the tzibur, but just in case it could be that maybe there is such leniency, but yeah, I'm not sure how that works with Musaf. I hear that. Rav Shimshon Pinkus quotes the Arizal, and he explains that Chazaras HaShatz has a greater preeminence than the silent Shemon Esrei, than the Amida, because it fulfills the Gemara that says if one sees his tefillahs were not answered, he should repeat the tefillah, and as the Vilna Gaon tells us, that means Chazaras HaShatz. So therefore, Chazaras HaShatz is the greater of the two tefillahs that are being said. He continues Rav Pinkus and he says that the lack of awareness of the value of Chazaras HaShatz is what causes these, a lot of the problems we have. And he brings a mashal. He says, someone, gets a high-performance sports car, doesn't really understand, what it's capable of doing, and therefore he never drives it faster than 5 miles an hour. Doesn't know what he's doing, what he's doing with it. He says that's what Shemon Esrei is. It's that high-performance sports car that we're driving, at that 5 miles, as opposed to driving it and accomplishing what we could accomplish with it. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that one who scorns clothing will eventually be unable to benefit from it. And it brings the story of David HaMelech, who tore Shaul's clothing, and later, as the Navi tells us, David's clothes did not warm him. And Rav Itzla Petterberger and Koch Veyar explain similarly on the Gemara, which explains why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed, that the question there was asking, why didn't the learning that the Klal Yisrael was doing, why didn't it protect them from doing the three great Averos, which brought the destruction of Eretz Yisrael? And Hashem answered, because of their lack of appreciation for Torah, it didn't protect them. What does it mean, Birchas HaTorah? So Witzel is saying it doesn't mean the Birchas HaTorah, it means the lack of appreciation. That's what it means by that they didn't do Birchas HaTorah properly. That they didn't appreciate what they were doing.
Okay.
That's his, and the same, therefore, applies to Chazaras HaShatz. One who loses the ability to reach out through his tefillah and loses that personal connection now loses what the Chazaras HaShatz can do, and that's why it becomes Gadol Avonim Inso. That's one of the reasons why the Aver is so great, is because of what we're losing on it. Now, as with anything, it's up to us to decide to be able to change our ways, and we can reassure ourselves that success is possible as long as we put in that effort, as the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Habar L'Tairo, so someone who comes to purify himself, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will assist him and will be able to accomplish and get, to where we need with the davening, with the Chazaras HaShatz, with the not talking through it for sure. And again, with the learning, as long as someone has someone to hang their hat on, they're okay. But just because, as someone said to me during the week, you look around many shuls and you see people that are learning. Just because of that, that's not a good reason to pick up a sefer also, as you may have good company perhaps then in the next world in regard to that, but it's certainly not something that's okay, again, unless someone has such a heter. Now, I had, as I mentioned, that I had a 7th grade Rebbe who wanted us not to talk during Chazaras HaShatz, so he told us then it was on his cheshbon for us to learn during Chazaras HaShatz. That was he was willing to take the Gehenim for our learning to keep us from talking. But I think that was only as a child that applied. It doesn't apply to me today. But, again, someone should ask a Shaila if he feels that, that he needs to learn then whether he really can or can't, especially since again one's supposed to be one of those nine people that are paying attention to the Chazaras HaShatz, and again the Chazaras HaShatz is the greater of the two Shemoneh Esreis. You know, one should weigh the options and see which is more worth it. So there is. The Kav HaChaim quotes somebody, I don't know, it's an abbreviation, I'm not sure he's quoting, but then he does say that Karitagar, he curses those who follow it, so, I'm not going to tell you there's nobody. I know that the Rav says that he has his Rosh Hashiva and he got a Heter. Again, I'm not, it's not my place to criticize.
There are literally, my mind, just in 302, I guess maybe 50 or 1,000 different places. Have something open that you're following or that you listen to.
No, so what you're supposed to really be doing, in reality, is you're supposed to... Do I have it here?
Follow the lane, the learning, the davening.
Is... So he doesn't bring it here. I don't remember where I saw it. But really what you're supposed to be doing... Right, so what you're supposed to do is, as my Rashiva Zatzal did, is you're supposed to stand as if you're davening. You stand, basically your feet together again. And you're following the Chazan, word by word, and that way you're staying focused on what he's saying. And then if he forgets Birchus Kanim, you're able to catch him. If he forgets, as we did on Yontif, if you forget Visayarev, you're able to catch him because you're paying attention as opposed to, wait, you missed it, not. The same thing's Marit Atol, Masha Veruach, St. Bracha, St. Talamotar. I mean, I once davened for the Amid as an Avel on the day that we switched from St. Bracha to St. Talamotar, and it was in front of a high school of over 100 kids, and 7 or 8 Rabbeim there, and one kid thought maybe I said V'Sein Bracha instead of V'Sein Talamotar, and it took them until after I was done Ashrei V'Ol Tzion to figure out that I had to go back and do Chazaras HaShatz again. But that's how much attention gets paid, even though we're all answering, and we're all there to do, going through the motions, but we're not being mechavein, because, right, it's hard to pay attention, but if you're following, then you say, hey, wait, that was the wrong thing he put in. So instead of closing with the normal story, I have two letters that deal with this topic that are good letters to read through. So we'll read these and then close with the homework. The first letter says, "Dear friends, 3 weeks ago in Eretz Yisrael, I had the schus to have an incredible and inspiring visit with Rav Chaim Kanievsky, which I'd like to share with you. I asked Rav Chaim if he'd be mespalel for Rafu Shalema for a good friend of mine from our shul. You can imagine my reaction when Rav Chaim asked me, 'Do they talk in your shul?' I responded, 'Yes, but it's much better lately.' Rav Chaim immediately said, 'That's not enough. The talking must stop completely.' And with that, he asked the son of Shlomi to take out the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Chaim pointed to the Shulchan Aruch, which states, as we quoted, 'Gadol Avonim means so,' and that that person's a sinner. I then said to Rav Chaim, 'But it's only during Chazaras HaShatz, that halacha.' 'No,' Rav Chaim said, pointing to the Mishnah Berurah that says, 'One should not speak during the entire davening.' 'Speak to the people in your shul,' Chaim continued, 'and tell them to be mekabel on themselves, bli neder, not to speak at all during davening. And in that schus, your friend will have a refuah shleima.' 'That's not enough,' I said. Reb Chaim looked at me questioningly and asked, 'What do you mean?' I replied, 'Nowadays, sometimes, quoting the Shulchan Aruch is not enough. I need to tell them that Reb Chaim personally requested that there should be no talking in shul.' Looking puzzled, Reb Chaim again asked me, 'What do you mean?' I then told Reb Chaim the famous remark of the Kotzke Rebbe, 'It's unfortunate that the Ten Commandments were not written by Reb Yehuda HaChassid.' At that, Reb Chaim burst out laughing, a very rare occurrence, and said, 'All right, you could tell the congregants in my name that in this chus your friend will have a refuah shleima, and I will be mespalel not only for him, but for the success of all the congregants of the shul as well.' I left Reb Chaim feeling very moved and eager to convey his message. The other night, my doorbell rang, and my friend who had been ill stopped by for a visit. I was shocked. I knew that as of a day before, he still had not been doing well, and there he was in my living room, looking wonderful. To my great joy, he told me he was really feeling much better. Truthfully, as someone who is guilty of talking in shul myself, I feel awkward writing this letter. But I heard Reb Chaim's haftacha, his promise firsthand, to daven for our friend and for all of us, and I have already seen the fruits of his efforts. I could not help but be inspired to try to make a change. And so, with the permission and encouragement of my friend and his family, I'm writing to convey this message from Chaim Kanievsky. It is now up to us to take the next step. May our sincere effort in this matter bring Hatzlach and Refuah and Yeshuas to us all." The second letter is called an open letter to my neighbor in shul. It says, "My dear Chaver, please excuse me for not signing this letter. Were I to do so, everyone in shul would know that this letter is being written to you, and I do not want to cause you public disgrace. I have known you for many years, and I value our relationship. Hopefully you feel the same towards me. Your commitment to Limud HaTorah, your unrestrained Gemilas Chesed are truly enviable. In fact, I even hoped that by sitting next to you in shul, some of your midos would rub off on me. But one thing that disturbs me greatly is your talking during davening. At first, it was barely more than a word or two to amplify a facial expression. But now you begin conversation almost as soon as you come into shul. I'm not calling this to your attention now to give you tochacha. Certainly my own slate is not nearly clean enough to make a reckoning for you. But I just want to let you know how your talking in shul is affecting me. First and foremost is Shmoneh Esrei. You probably assume that I am very well off financially and in other ways too. But I have some very pressing personal problems, which even my best friends know nothing about. Now, considering my peckle, I don't stand Shmoneh Esrei nearly as long as I should. But somehow, you always seem to finish ahead of me. I realize you are trying to talk quietly, but since you're standing right next to me, it disrupts my entire kavana. Sometimes I get so angry with you that I feel like blurting out in the middle of my Shmoneh Esrei, "Why don't you just go outside to talk? I can't walk out now, but you can." And who knows if my tefillos are not being answered because of inadequate kavana. Of course, I'm not blaming you for my tzaros, but since Shmoneh Esrei is my chance to plead for some mercy, I would appreciate it if you conduct the conversation outside and then come in for Kedusha. Next is Chazaras HaShatz, when the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei. Even though I am aware of the bountiful reward to be earned with each Amein, I am unfortunately far too relaxed in responding properly. Nevertheless, when I hardly hear the Chazan above you schmoozing, I end up losing out on even more Amein opportunities. Now you might argue and say that you are talking to the man on the other side and not with me. Yes, that is true. But I also have an inclination to schmooz in shul. When I see you practically smacking your lips over a delicious interchange, I am tempted to join you. Sometimes I tell myself that I'll only listen to your conversation. Then I find myself an accomplice by encouraging you with my interest. At other times, however, I even find myself sucked into actively participating in the conversation, which I had promised myself only to overhear. The Kriyas HaTorah is difficult enough to follow with the inevitable noise of foot shuffling, coughing, and in the summer air conditioner blowing. But when that combines with your conversation, I go home each Shabbos wondering whether or not I've been Yotze Kriyas HaTorah. Finally, I must say that our shul is a very special one. We have some excellent shiurim, a highly respected rabbi, and a minyan full of B'nai Torah. In general, there is a fairly good decorum in our shul compared with many others. So I suppose I could just change my seat, but at this point it would be too awkward to explain without embarrassing you or myself. Our shul in many ways is truly a mikdash ma'at, a sanctuary in miniature. But whenever I am about to reach that full appreciation of that, especially on Shabbos, your talking cools me off. The other day you asked me, why don't I bring my 5-year-old son to shul more often? I told you that he's still too young. Now I'll tell you the real reason. He still feels Kedushas Beis HaMedrash, the sanctity of the place, when he walks in. Even after davening, he whispers in shul. If I bring him every week and sit him down between us, I am frankly afraid of your example. How can he retain his reverence for shul if he observes your behavior? Each Shabbos he begs me to take him along, and I'm running out of excuses. You don't owe me any respect, and you may feel that my kavana does not take precedence to your socializing. But think of our children in shul. What will become of their davening? I see you are already having trouble controlling some of your children in shul. Whenever you are not schmoozing with your friend, you are reprimanding your children. Yes, their conduct is reprehensible at times, but where do you think they learn to be callous towards Kedushas Beis HaMedrash? In writing this letter, I have tried to avoid giving away my own identity or that of our shul. If others read this letter, however, they may waste time trying to figure out whom this letter was meant for, but you know. Wishing you and your family the best, name and city withheld. So, you know, we have to realize, you know, what it is. I know that, you know, I've already been quoted on my statement, you know, if I had boys, about, you know, some of the issues with some of the things that sometimes go on. You know, but Baruch Hashem, I have, you know, a handful of years at least before I have that, and, you know, the shul will grow with that. You know, we'll make the proper example for those that don't know, and the davening will become a better davening. And in that way, you know, everyone will feel comfortable bringing their kids, everyone will feel comfortable davening, and won't have the friction, you know, that goes on between people, or, you know, the issues of the talking, you know, in the improper places. So this week, so since it's all about talking, so we've taken on trying not to talk during Chazaras HaShatz, both Shachris and Mincha, not talking during Birchas Kriya Shema. So now we're going to extend it basically from Baruch Shamar, meaning that basically Baruch Shamar, through Chazaras HaShatz, which are all the total usher times to talk during Shachris, we will be careful not to talk out at any point during the davening.